In the name of Jesus, amen. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, Jesus said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And Jesus continues, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Dear saints, your God is not silent. He speaks. He gives you his word. He wouldn't have had to do this. He could have given us the cold shoulder for everything that we have ever done to him and everything that we have ever done to each other. He could simply ignore us. We could be all alone in this world without knowledge of who we actually are, where we actually come from, or what God thinks of us. But your God speaks. He isn't silent. And there is something amazing about this word. You see, my words and your words, they describe things. This carpet is red. This color is green. I'm married to such and such. I'm the brother of such and such. See, our words, they describe things. But his word creates things. When God said, let there be light, there was. When God said, I say to you, rise and walk, the man picked up his mat and walked. See, one of the best illustrations that we have this side of eternity of what the word of God is that of a seed. This is what Jesus is getting at. He says that the word of God is like a seed. Because from a seed springs forth life. Without seed, there is no life. You could have the most perfect soil in all of the earth. You could have the most perfect amount of rain, the most perfect amount of sunshine, but without a seed, there is no life. Dear saints, your God speaks. And his word creates, and his word is life. When you gather here, you not only hear what God is describing. He's not just describing that he is at peace with you because of the blood of Jesus. He's not just describing that your sins are forgiven because Jesus died for you. He is actually speaking existence. You hear peace. And in your heart, God creates peace. You hear your sins are forgiven. And in your heart, faith grasps this amazing reality that all the burdens that we have for everything that we have said and everything that we have thought and everything that we have done, it is released because his word creates and his word is life. These 3 weeks that we have right before Lent, they focus our entire Christian existence into what's known as the three solas of the Reformation. Last week we heard grace alone. And this week we hear scripture alone. If his word is everything, if his word is life, then tell me, dear saints, what you think is the number one enemy of Satan. It's not you. It's not me. It is our Lord's word. It's hard to imagine what life would be without the word of God. But the best thing that we can say is that life simply wouldn't be without the word of God. See, Jesus gives us this parable today, and he's letting us know not only that his word is life, not only that his word is like a seed, but that his word has enemies. And all too often, dear saints, we are those enemies as well. So what is the first enemy? Jesus says that the seed is sown and it falls onto a hard ground and it's trampled underfoot. And the birds waste no time plucking it out of the heart. When the word of God falls on uninterested ears, when the word of God falls on unbelieving hearts, it just bounces off. And Satan doesn't mess around. He's out for blood. He's out to take all comfort away from you. For without the word, there is no comfort. Without the word, there is no confidence as to what God thinks of us. So if it just bounces right there on the ground, Satan comes and snatches it away. He's out for blood. This isn't messing around here. And this isn't just speaking. This parable is not just speaking about the many people that we have in our life that we speak of repentance to them, that we speak of forgiveness to them, and it just, they don't hear. They hear, but they don't hear. They see, but they don't see. It's not just speaking of them. It is warning us that we all too often are like them. See, we as Christians, we have this crazy habit of confessing what the Bible is, of saying it is infallible, that it's efficacious, that it is God's word, that it is our life. But then, we're not interested in it. We don't read it. It is not the first thing that we go to when we are anxious. It is not the very first thing that we go to when we are thankful. It is not the very first thing that we go to when we simply are. And so here at this church, I think we have this great exercise that puts into our mouths faith. And that is, when the word of God is read, we say a response, something like, "Thanks be to God." Or we simply, when the word of God is read, we simply say, "Amen." And this is faith. This is faith saying, "God said it, I believe it. Help my unbelief." This is our mouths confessing, "I believe that I am forgiven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say amen to that because I believe it, because God said it. Now, dear God, help my unbelief. I believe that the Lord blesses me and keeps me. I believe that the Lord has his favor for me. I believe it. I'm going to say amen to that because God said it. Now help my unbelief. I believe that there is one holy Christian church. I believe it only because God said it, because what I see with my eyes is a mess. So I'm going to say amen to that. But help my unbelief. The first enemy is an uninterested and unbelieving heart. And Satan attacks it. The second enemy that Jesus is getting at is trouble. It is trouble in this life. It is temptation. It is suffering. Because when we go through suffering, when we experience trouble that we have, we have this natural inclination to think that God is far from us. We have this natural inclination to think that God washes his hands of all suffering. We should know better. We should look to our Jesus. He doesn't wash his hands of suffering. He dives in so that he can suffer with us, so that he can suffer for us. And the second enemy, it goes hand in hand with not believing the word of God. Because if we believed the word of God, we would grasp this promise that when we are suffering, when we have trouble in this life, we would hear Jesus' promise, "I say to you, in the world, you will have tribulation." Jesus promises it. So we shouldn't be so surprised when it happens to us. It should be our assumption that we're going to have suffering. That we are, in a sense, until we are delivered from this body of tears, until we are delivered from this valley of sorrows, dear saints, I want you to grasp this illustration. We are going down. That's the assumption. If you're in a plane, and a stewardess comes up to you and says, "We're failing. We're falling. We're going down." But then the stewardess gives you a parachute and says, "This is your only hope. This is your only hope that you have to survive this mess." Then every time the plane hits a little bump, you make sure that parachute is on. You buckle it in. You make sure it's on tight. Every time the plane dips a little, but you make sure that you have that parachute still with you. And that should be the assumption, that we are going down, but your Lord has not left you without hope. He has not left you without his promises. He hasn't left you without his peace in the midst of this veil of tears. So every little bump that we experience in this life, if our assumption is that we're going down, we hold firmly to our Jesus. And know that he went down for us, so that we aren't going down. The third enemy is the deceptions of this life. Jesus doesn't say the enemy is this life. It is the deceptions of this life. The enemy isn't wealth. The enemy isn't family. The enemy isn't having a good job or of having success. It is the deceptions of these things. And this is the most subtle one that we have. Because a seed can grow up into a plant for a while, growing right next to the thorns, until the thorns slowly suffocate. And so the blessings or the anxieties that we have in this life, they aren't the danger, it is the deception of them. It is thinking that this world is our home and that we aren't but a stranger here. See, we can become so obsessed with this life that the joys that we have lead us to ignore eternal life. There are so many enemies. But Jesus doesn't speak to you today so that you can despair, but that so that we can repent and know where our life comes from. His word. His promises. And the good soil, that is your Jesus. For no one is good but God alone. But he isn't just good for himself, he is good for you. He is good in your place, and he gives you his goodness. He gives you his favor. Tell me what has to happen to a seed in order for it to start bearing life. It has to be buried. And we confess that our Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. In his death, he bears fruit. And it is fruit for you. It is fruit that gives all of the benefits that he lived and died for to you. It is fruit that proclaims that there are so many enemies, but that every single one of them has been defeated by him. For he had a heart that believed. He had a heart that grasped onto our Lord's promises, and he is the one who crushed Satan's head for us. He is the one who suffered so that we can know that he suffers with us, and the crown of thorns was worn by our Jesus so that he can make sure he presents us as his crown jewel. They are all defeated by you. And his word creates peace for you. His word is everything. Amen. Mm-hmm.